Nations rise and nations fall. We see this in history. We see it unfolding in our time, and we read about it in the Bible. And the interesting thing about the Bible is that it shows us that God already knows that a nation is going to rise or that a nation will fall. And we find a fascinating section of Scripture in Daniel chapter 2 on this point. Daniel chapter 2. Now in this chapter, Daniel is in Babylon. The king is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream that bothered him, but he can't remember what it was. Daniel is called in to tell him what the dream was and what the dream meant. So in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel appears before King Nebuchadnezzar, and he tells him that he saw an image in his dream. This is Daniel 2, verse 32. He said, "The image's head was of gold, his breast and arms of silver, his belly and thighs of brass, his legs of iron, and his feet part of iron and part of clay." Now, what Daniel is about to do here is to take these elements, the gold and the silver and the brass and the iron, and he's going to say that these represent empires. These metals or these elements represent great nations, superpowers, if you will. And he's about to explain this in just a few verses. But before we get to those verses, notice that he also told the king in verse 34 and 35 that he saw a stone cut out without hands, and that stone struck this image and broke it into pieces. That's verse 34 and 35. Now Daniel says in verse 36, that's the dream. Now I'm going to tell you what that dream means. And so in verse 37, he said, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field and the fowls of the heaven has he given into thine hand, and has made you ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." The gold represents you, Nebuchadnezzar, and not just him as an individual, but him as the ruler of the most powerful nation on earth. So the gold represents the Babylonian kingdom or the Babylonian empire. But then he says in verse 39 that there is going to arise another superpower. And this implies, of course, if Nebuchadnezzar is listening, this means that his kingdom is not going to endure forever. His kingdom is going to be like any other nation. Listen, folks, it's very simple as we look at history. Nations rise and nations fall. What we find is that nations come to power, and sometimes they become the most powerful nation on earth, but that doesn't last forever. As a matter of fact, it doesn't last very long. And throughout all of this, God foreknows what's going to happen, and God works out his plans for his purposes. So in verse 39, he says, "After you," that is, after your kingdom, and that means after your kingdom falls, "after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to you." Now we know, because the book of Daniel tells us, and because even secular history tells us, that the kingdom that took over, the next great superpower, was the Medo-Persian Empire. It was the empire composed of the Medes and the Persians. Later, it was simply called the Persian Empire. So Daniel says that this silver represented the Persian Empire. Now remember that God is talking about this before it ever happened, years before it took place. But then he says, after the Persians, there will arise another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. Now Daniel talks about this kingdom of brass many times in this book. As you look over at chapter 7 and chapter 8 especially, that kingdom of brass was the Greek Empire, led by Alexander the Great. Now again, it is absolutely fascinating that God looks at this hundreds of years before it ever took place. Hundreds of years before some of these rulers were even born. God tells what they're going to do, how they're going to rise to power, and how they're going to fall. So then he talks about a fourth kingdom after the Greeks. That's in verse 40. "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. That iron kingdom was the mighty Roman Empire, which took control and became the superpower of the earth after the Greek Empire began to fade. God is talking about these things in such a calm way. He only describes these things in a few verses here. That shows us that in the mind of God, these things are certain. God knew that they were going to take place. You and I, as we try to look in the future, get excited. We become anxious. And we become worried at times about what nations are going to do. We worry and we fear war. We are concerned, and rightly so, and naturally speaking, about the times and about the condition of the country. But God already knows what's going to happen. And there is a great lesson here. There is great comfort in knowing that. The good Lord knows what's going to take place. God knows what evil rulers are doing. And He already knows what is going to be the end result. And the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, Romans 8, verse 28. So in Daniel's time, the Babylonians were in power. After them, the Persians were in power. After them, the Greeks were in power. And after them, the Romans. So God summarizes centuries, hundreds of years of history. Hundreds of years and many generations of fighting and politics. And He does that in just a few words, in just a few sentences. Only the all-seeing eye of God could do that. But God says there's something else that's coming. Something that is far above and much more meaningful than all of these temporary earthly kingdoms. You see, when men measure kingdoms, when men look at nations, they look at the wealth and the military power and the leadership and the prosperity of that nation. But God is saying all these nations are going to fall. All of them are going to fade into the background, and they're going to be forgotten for the most part. But this kingdom that He talks about is going to be different. It is going to stand forever. Let's read about it. You see, this kingdom that He's going to talk about now was represented by this stone that was cut out without hands. That means that divinity made it, that it is of divine origin. When something is made without men's hands, that means that God did it and not man. So this stone, which represents this kingdom, was made, it was established by God. This stone struck these other empires. It overcame them. It conquered them, not by force, but by persuasion, by the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Now let's look at what that stone was. That stone that He talks about here destroyed these other nations, not in the sense of some kind of military conquest, but by overcoming their ways, by overcoming their culture, and by spreading throughout all of these other nations. The Bible tells us in verse 44, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people." What does that mean? Well, when the Babylonians were in power, they accumulated all of this wealth, they built all these buildings, they amassed all this property and power. But when the Medes conquered them, the Medes took control of what they had. And so the kingdom of the Babylonians, what they had built up, was left to other people. And then, of course, when the Greeks took over the Persians, then the wealth and all of the property and power of the Persians was transferred to the Greeks and so forth. Well, he says that's not the way that it's going to work with this kingdom. This kingdom is not going to be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. Again, not by force, not by military expeditions, but by the preaching of the gospel, by persuasion, and by conversion to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, he says, it shall stand forever. Every other nation that he talks about here, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Persians, the Romans, all came to an end. But this kingdom will stand forever. Notice again in verse 44 that this kingdom would be set up in the days of these kings. Now he starts with the Babylonians and he ends with the Romans. When was the church established? Well, the church was established in the days of the Roman Empire. Augustus was the king. Tiberius followed him, and then other emperors. That is a matter of historical fact. The church was established in the days of the Roman Empire. God foretold this hundreds of years before it took place in Daniel 2, verse 44. The Bible says that God would set up a kingdom. He says it will never be destroyed. And he said it will stand forever. Now, do you remember some words of Jesus that are very similar to what Daniel is talking about here? Well, in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Death itself will not overcome this church. And then immediately in Matthew 16, verse 19, he goes on to say, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." That kingdom is the church. That kingdom was established in Acts chapter 2. A good way to remember, a good simple formula for remembering many of these Old Testament prophecies is to remember the number 2. Isaiah 2 plus Daniel 2 plus Joel 2 equals Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is where these things were fulfilled when the church, the kingdom of God, was established on Pentecost Day. And here's another way that you could remember this. In the Old Testament, you have Isaiah 2, you have Daniel 2, and you have Joel 2. In the New Testament, you have Acts 2, which talks about the establishment of the church, and then you have Ephesians 2 and Colossians 2, which point back to the book of Acts, chapter 2, when the church was established. But there's one passage that shows absolutely and clearly that the kingdom of God did come in the first century, and the Bible records it in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, I want you to notice even the wording here and how similar it is to what Daniel prophesied of in Daniel 2:44. Daniel said that the God of heaven would set up or establish a kingdom which would never be destroyed and it would stand forever. Now listen to what Hebrews 12 verse 28 says. This is the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 28. "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, it cannot be shaken." Daniel said it will never be destroyed. Daniel said it will stand forever. Hebrews 12 says in verse 28, "Wherefore we receiving a kingdom." The kingdom had been established. These people were in it. And they were receiving the blessings and the benefits of that kingdom, and that kingdom was spreading, and other people were coming into it. That's why he says we are receiving the kingdom. And he said that kingdom cannot be moved. Daniel chapter 2 is not a prophecy of a kingdom that will come sometime in our future. Daniel chapter 2 is a prophecy about the church, which is with us today and will stand forever.